Track 13, Nina Nana. ITV's arts editor tells how covering the Eurovision Song Contest in Sweden is no holiday. Thank goodness for coffee and pastries.
I'm going to talk a bit about the Eurovision Song Contest today, if you don't mind. Yes, I know the theme of this month's magazine is Summer on the Coast, but I'll get round to that, sort of. Bear with me, readers. I'm still buzzing from the incredible week I spent in Sweden covering the competition, which was being staged in Malmö. I've never been to Scandinavia before, so it was quite an education. But I've certainly covered the Eurovision Song Contest before. And even though you think you've got it down to a fine art, each year brings different things to tackle. Yes, of course, there are the usual larger-than-life performers, this year with names like Baby Lasagna and Windows 95 Man. And it is basically a full week of Europop blasting through your head, with some really good songs scattered in amongst it all. But as you'll all know, there was plenty of politics this year as well, namely because of the inclusion of Israel in the competition. We had marches, Greta Thunberg, friction amongst the contestants, loud boos for the organisers, and one of the performers kicked out. So yes, this was a Eurovision unlike any I've covered before. What does happen when you cover foreign events like these for TV news is the assumption, sometimes, that you're having a lovely time all the time. Yes, I did plenty of live broadcasts from inside the arena or out on the streets and plenty of news pieces every single day. We worked and we worked. And yet some back in the office and amongst my family would ask, "Are you having a lovely time? Are you enjoying Sweden? Have you managed to do any shopping?" The truth on the ground is that you're lucky if you'll have your meals at the right time. There really isn't time to sit by pools and visit the ABBA Museum, as some might imagine we were doing in between broadcasts. But what is always a privilege when I do these foreign trips with work is the ability to see another culture in action. And my team and I had quite a shock when, after running around in Malmö filming and interviewing all day, we suddenly thought we'd have time to go out and actually sit down and have some dinner. But it would have to be after 9 p.m. This is not a big deal here in the UK. In fact, when some Europeans come over to the UK to visit, they're often quite surprised at how late we eat in the evenings. In Sweden, the lunch is the main meal of the day, and it's normally quite early, sometimes 11:30. And dinner tends to be at 6 o'clock. And so trying to book a table for 9 o'clock when we had finished our work proved almost impossible in the area around Malmö Arena when the singing competition was being staged. "What is going on with all these early closing times?" I asked our Sweden producer Sasha in exasperation. "The idea is," he said, "you spend time at home with the family, not out till all hours." My team and I were rather incredulous, I have to say. We were also starving and therefore quite crotchety. The idea of a general rule that being at home with the family and eating together or hanging out together is more normal than gallivanting around all night was somewhat alien to us. But it is interesting how different countries treat leisure and free time. It's not that unusual for restaurants to close altogether during some summer months in Sweden so that all the staff can go away on holiday. And don't expect cafes to stay open late. The Scandinavians take their leisure time very seriously. I'm a huge fan of their tradition of fika. Even in the frenetic and chaotic media centre at Eurovision with hundreds of journalists from all over the world busy doing our work there, it was always an announcement made that it was time for fika. This is a tradition whereby coffee and normally a cinnamon bun is consumed, though any sweet pastry seems to be the order of the day. Everyone seems to do it. The fact that it's a lot simpler than the British traditional afternoon tea means it's generally easier to partake, and it is utterly delightful, a sort of enforced break from the desk. We were staying in Copenhagen, as it was only a 25-minute drive into Malmö via a bridge that connects Sweden to Denmark, and they love their fika over there too. When I returned home, I went straight into a pre-planned cataract operation. And what a revelation that was, seeing things so clearly with such vivid colours was utterly amazing. For the past year or so, I hadn't really been able to see how green the leaves were, or the individual colours of the garden birds that visited. I'd had my first eye done before going to Eurovision so I could really experience the multicoloured craziness of the event. But the most wonderful experience was going back up the coast in Norfolk to Waxham and walking along the beach. I could make out individual grains of sand, see boats and seabirds so clearly, focus on people approaching from far away as they too walked on the beach. It was like being in another world. So, as I recover from this second eye operation, that is where I'm heading again as soon as I can, back up the coast to the sand, the clear blue skies and the clarity of vision that I've been missing for all too long. The coast has always been a special place for us, but seeing it with new eyes is such a joy. And then I shall return to Norwich to indulge in what is now amongst my favourite leisure activities. By that I mean a coffee and a pastry from Bread Source in the city centre. Who needs to go to Scandinavia for fika?